This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We cover a lot of different things around Douglas County. This one pertains to county government today. Douglas County Commissioner Tom Kress, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle.
Well, recently announced, in fact, Friday of last week, that the county had been notified that you were the recipient of a FEMA grant, Federal Emergency Management Agency, for over $16.6 million to upgrade the 30-year-old outdated Douglas County Emergency Radio Communication System. I'm curious what your reaction was when somebody opened up that envelope or email.
Well, you know, it was a bit of elation. I've been getting little bits and pieces for the last couple months that made me think that maybe that there was actually some hope that this was going to happen. You had me on the show here 6 months ago or so, and we had crossed a few hurdles. It's been a long time in the making, and there was lots of things we had to do along the way, and we were knocking those off, and it was looking like it might actually happen.
Well, a big project, and really from the backing up, how far back did you really start working on, hey, we've got to find a way to do this?
Well, it became apparent clear back into 2018 when we had an engineering study done, that the radio system, the parts and the function of it was becoming obsolete, and the replacement stuff wasn't going to be available, and we needed to replace it, and it was going to be quite expensive. So, to be honest with you, what happened was in the fall of 2020, shortly after the Labor Day fires, Oregon became a federally recognized disaster area, presidentially declared disaster area, and it allowed Oregon to be eligible for up to $60 million, in FEMA grants under the Hazardous Mitigation Program. And we sort of swung at the fence and filled out the necessary paperwork and submitted our portion of that, and honestly, right off the bat, it was probably only a few months later, I had gotten a phone call from, I believe it was Senator Hurd's office then, that said that we had crossed the Oregon threshold from the Oregon Emergency Management folks, and they said that they were going to allocate that money, part of that, the $17 million to Douglas County for the radio system. And from there, it was like, and this is, maybe early 2021. And they were thinking, oh, wow, we've got it. Well, that was just, a small part of the step. From then, it had to, that meant that the state was okay with it, but then it had to go back to FEMA, and that's where it's been ever since.
And obviously, when you're dealing with a national agency and disasters and different situations of various cost points throughout the nation, there's a lot that takes a lot to essentially get your request to the top of the heap.
It does. Now, this was nice. One of the good things about this, because it was a presidentially declared disaster, that the $6 million that the state of Oregon was awarded for this natural hazard mitigation program was non-competitive outside of Oregon. So we were only competing with stuff in Oregon, but it still had to fit the definition of hazardous mitigation from FEMA standpoint. So, and for this far the state of Oregon goes, I should get this in. This is the largest grant that's ever came from that program in the state of Oregon.
Wow, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal, and it took them a while to figure out how they were actually, because it was such a unique request, but it did cross the boxes that they needed to be filled and checked that they were trying to figure out how exactly it was going to fit. But in the end of the day, we basically crossed all the hurdles.
Now, explain the infrastructure involved when you say emergency radio communication system. A lot of people don't probably know what all is involved.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah, it's a very complicated system. Currently, what we have is a core radio system that it's a server bank that sits in the Justice Building here in town, and it communicates with 19 different towers throughout the county that that relay the signals back and forth, and it's a simulcast radio system, which means that you don't need to know where you're at in Douglas County. If you are a law enforcement officer, you have your frequency you're on, no matter where you're at, it geosynchronously aligns the tower so that you don't talk over everybody and there's no interference. That's the kind of system we have now. It's a VHF radio system, and it was very state-of-the-art in the 90s. It is very much obsolete today.
Well, and I mean, so many things in technology, certainly what we do with commercial radio, things really evolved, and equipment that we used even 8 or 9 years ago is equally obsolete.
It's very much so. Some of these servers we're talking about that we run on our old Microsoft XP software systems, and the software itself can only run on XP, no version higher than that. And of course, you know how long it's been since we've ran on XP, so that's certainly a problem. And then you have today's policing, let's say, is a lot more inside than out anymore. And our VHF system, at some points doesn't work very well inside buildings. So we had, that's part of something that has become more of a problem.
Yeah, and there are times periodically on the scanner as dispatchers are communicating with various law enforcement or emergency folks that it becomes obvious that there are points in the county in different places where there's definite issues in trying to communicate.
There is, and some of that's still going to exist simply because until we get to a satellite-driven system, which is believe it or not, is years away still, we've got the 100 valleys of the Umpqua, and to get into every one of these is very difficult. So part of what we're doing now is an engineering study to see just exactly how can we take the towers we have and what frequencies do we need to use, to get coverage better than what we have now and on a resilient basis.
So the what departments utilize the system? It's not just police and fire, right?
Oh, no, it's not. And it's not just Douglas County. But in Douglas County, the Sheriff's Department uses it. The Public Works Department uses it. We use it outside of Douglas County, all the fire departments, whether it be Volunteer or Douglas County Fire 2 or the Roseburg City Fire Department, the city's police departments throughout Douglas County use it. Douglas Forest Protective Agency is on our radio system. Douglas Electric is also on our radio system. There's 55 agencies that rely on us having a resilient and functioning radio system.
How does our system compare to what some of the adjoining counties in Oregon have?
Well, it was quite a unique thing in its day. It's definitely different. So if you take Lane, Lynn, and I believe Benton County, they have about the same amount of towers we do. So that's three counties. And that's mostly because of our topography. We have all these, hills and valleys. And then also, typically over the years didn't have all these agencies right on their systems quite the way we did. Either they had their own radio systems or they had smaller versions of it. And I mentioned earlier the simulcast thing. That is completely unique. Most radio systems outside of Douglas County, especially in the past, they would, when you go from area to area, they would have to switch channels on their radio to actually go to a new channel because they've entered a new area. So that part's different. Now, some of that's been overcome with technology now. They have things called multicast and trunking, where they don't particularly talk about frequencies anymore. They know if you're a particular, like you're a sheriff's department, you ride on a sheriff's department channel, and that might switch frequencies for you as you go. But that's definitely different than what we are.
All right, we're going to talk more about this when we come back on Inside Douglas County. County Commissioner Tom Kress with us. The interview, a podcast at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. alongside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Umpqua Valley live at 4. We're going to feature some music from the artists that are playing the music on the Half Shell on Tuesday night. We'll also focus on a number of arts, entertainment, community events on the 4 o'clock program, Umpqua Valley Live today. And on Mondays, inside Douglas County, we'll be talking to State Senator David Brock Smith about the situation with the Rock Creek Fish Hatchery. County Commissioner Tom Kress in with us now, talking about the FEMA grant the county got for the emergency radio system. Now, does this project, everything that needs to be done, is it fully funded with this federal amount, or are you adding some county or state money into it as well?
Yeah, well, I'm confident that it will end up costing more than what the grant was for. However, you know, the state legislature also, during the same period of time that we were awarded, or that they, that FEMA announced this, these grants available back in 2020, also took up the issue of the match. And so this grant, why it's from FEMA, is $16.6 million. The state of Oregon is going to actually make up the rest of the grant, which is, in this case, is now 90% grant. So it's the other 10% is going to be paid for out of the state legislature. And we'll have some other stuff that we're going to need. The radio system is going to be an ongoing maintenance and, you know, upgrades, you know, for, you know, the foreseeable future. But this is definitely going to get us a lot closer than we are now.
One of the things I noticed in the initial release was, once you get the upgrade done, it allows each radio tower to function independently, even if there's some issue going on where it can't communicate with others. Why is that important?
Well, it's really vital. So our system now, really, if one component of our ring, which is the I-5 corridor, Mount Scott, Mount Nebo, Roman Nose Mountain over the coast, if one of those goes down, they can't communicate independently. They're basically, think of them as giant repeaters, where they have to, every signal has to come back to the here in Roseburg and then back out. So if you're a police officer in the Reesport area, for instance, and the, you know, you have a tower problem, you know, here around Roseburg, you're not even able to communicate with your cars in the area that you're in. So while we can have a problem with the main core here in the central part of the county in the future, you'll still be able to talk to those around you that are within your, you know, your tower zone.
Now, for instance, Archie Creek and some of our weather events probably probably exemplify why you really need to make this upgrade when communication is that important.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually are really lucky with Archie Creek. We did have some little bit of problems, but it wasn't nearly as bad as it could be. You know, Mount Scott virtually burned over, but yet we were still able to have radio communications out of that. Cinnamon Butte, same way. The firefighters did an excellent job of saving Cinnamon Butte up there by Diamond Lake, so that one still functioned. You know, we didn't lose a tower in any of in the Archie Creek fire, but if we had, and on our current system, it could have been catastrophic for any communication, and everybody relies on our communications during the fires.
Now, I understand that an engineering study is going on now. Talk about what's involved with that.
Yeah, the engineering study is actually going to be an addendum to the one that we did in 2018. It's the same outfit that's going to do that. They outlined then what we really needed. A lot of that hasn't changed. In fact, we've been working on fixing those problems ever since then. Even though we didn't have this grant then, there were things that were going to, no matter which direction we went, needed to be done, and they had pointed them out in that first engineering study, like you know, replacing generators, replacing battery backups, replacing the microwave software and hardware. Those things we've been working on for the last 4 years just to make it more resilient. The new engineering study will take the old study, take what we've done off of it, and tell us exactly the nuts and bolts we need to go forward to make this the, you know, the system of the future.
Now, obviously, this is a project that's got a lot of steps to it. Beyond the engineering study, what happens next?
So next steps, actually, we're having, FEMA requires us to have a kickoff meeting. They'll actually, either virtually or in person, we'll come down and we'll talk to the the folks at play here and tell us exactly, you know, what this grant means, how it gets administered, how it gets reimbursed, and then what they expect out of it. And it's you know, it's something you really have to be on top of in order to stay eligible. And then after that, that starts a clock. It's a three-year clock that you have to start and finish. Well, after that kickoff meeting, you have to finish the project by 3 years. So we'll probably the first year we'll be doing a lot of, engineering and procurement, and then the next couple years implementation.
And probably a lot of paperwork done in a very particular way to satisfy not only being organized, but for what FEMA wants.
Yeah, it's not our first rodeo of FEMA, which is good, but so we know what to expect. But they definitely have to, you have to cross all your T's and dot all your I's and make sure that you've done everything that fits their way. But we can do that, and we will do that, and that's, the price you pay for getting that kind of money.
Well, and I would imagine then that doesn't mean they sent you a check for that amount. That means they're going to let you work on the project and either some partial payment or reimbursement process.
Yeah, it's a reimbursable grant so that we can do work, get that some of that work done, certain aspects of that work, and then get reimbursed for that as we go. It's not a, we're there at the end. But they can always claw something back if we didn't quite, didn't fit quite the way they initially said. So we'll have to be very careful of that.
When you're putting some of the new equipment in, all of that can't be done at the same time. There's so much going on. How do you keep the current system going while putting in the new system?
Yeah, well, great question. Some of the quotes we've had over the the past has actually looked at that and actually didn't look at that. They just gave us a quote to do this system. But in the reality was they were planning, it was as if you could take your radio system down for a year and put all these new pieces up. Anything we do forward will have to be able to basically be able to use our current radio, and we'll take towers down at a time that won't affect all the rest of them. But that little, for the few days that tower is down while we're doing an upgrade, that area we'll have to put little portable repeaters and that kind of thing to minimize the impact.
Yeah, so a lot of complexity to this, and probably a lot of people from the county getting a lot of education in the course of this process.
Oh, yeah, it's been that way for a while now. It is a very complex issue. We'll probably, while I don't know the exact results of the engineering study, it's going to probably recommend a hybrid system of ultra-high frequency in the valleys with VHF in the outlying areas. And that was something that wouldn't have even been considered just a few years ago, but with not only portable radios, but car radios, technology's changed quite a bit where you can easily have a dual band radio, and it will do the work for you and do the switchovers to where you don't even know what you're, what frequency you're running on. It just works.
Wow. A lot going on there. With the point you are at right now, June of 24, when do you figure everything's up and running?
I think it's going to probably be, I would say that we'll have that kickoff meeting in the next month or so, sometime late summer of 2027, I think is, that's our clock. We have to have, once we have the kickoff meeting, we have 3 years to get it done. And so our feet will be held to the fire, and we'll have to be really getting her done.
And as you said, biggest FEMA grant of this type for Oregon.
It is, yeah, for the National Natural Hazard Mitigation Grant, which comes from one of these fire events from FEMA. It is the largest Oregon's ever done.
Wow. County Commissioner Tom Kress wrapping up Inside Douglas County, and thanks for being on.
Hey, thanks for having me.
1257 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.